What is good, everyone? This is The Common Critic. We're here, we're psyched, and we're talking. We're about a year late, but, you know, it's in the news. We're going to talk everything, everywhere, all at once. There's a big renaissance for Brendan Fraser and Ki-Hae Kwan. Gosh, I'm so bad at that. Please don't call me racist. I didn't practice it before this. But I know his first name's Ki. I can at least get that down. Ki-Hae Kwan, I believe it's. It is.
You're canceled 20 seconds into the podcast already, Brent.
I feel like that happens every podcast about 20 seconds in.
And done.
But these big actors up and coming, Ki-Hae Kwan really hasn't acted in anything in like 25 years, and now he's winning all these awards. So we thought, hey, probably a good time to be talking the movie that is getting him all these supporting actor awards, right? Kind of stay relevant with the podcast a little.
Yeah.
I was really late in watching this too. I feel ashamed.
All of us were. I feel like. Well, I don't know about Cody.
I think Cody watched it over the summer, right? Because we talked about it a little bit.
Is that how long this has been out?
Oh, dude, it was like almost a year ago. I think it was March of last year.
I am really like so far behind.
It wasn't that long ago, was it?
Dude, I am like almost positive. Let me look it up. I usually have the IMDb here.
Jamie, where's Jamie at?
I'm not at the computer this time, guys. Sorry.
Young Jamie failing us.
My bad.
Yeah, I didn't watch it in theaters, but I watched it pretty much
just
right
after 2022. I don't know when, but
it came out. So
it's been out for a while.
I hadn't even really heard about it till Twitter all of a sudden started talking about it. But even then, I was like, okay, it's just another movie that like Twitter is, you know, it's caught it people's attention. But I haven't seen enough about it to entice me to go watch it until you guys were like, oh, we're doing it on the podcast. So I was like, I guess I got to watch it now.
I was kind of the opposite. Like, I saw a lot of it and it was really on my list. Like, I saw a lot of the marketing for it, but sometimes even movies I'm excited for, they come at like a really bad time and I just don't get around to watching it in theaters. This was on my list for a long time. And then I was seeing stuff like there's some other film critics I follow on TikTok and like they were saying like, man, I've gone and seen this like six times in a row. Like, I cry every time and I'm just like, what is this movie, man? Like, it was such an anomaly. Like,
I saw that reaction, Dallas.
Hold my tongue till we do start talking.
Well, might as well get into it. Let's not hold your tongue anymore, Dallas. Go for it.
No, all right. You want me to get into my score as the podcast tradition is? Dallas first.
Yep, Dallas first.
Okay. Except for on Sunday.
That Cowboys jersey you're wearing.
No, before I start talking, I will also apologize to all of our listeners. I am getting over a little sickness, so all the sniffles on this podcast are 100% my fault, and I apologize for that. But
you sound great.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
You drink the water in Mexico, people.
I got the Mexican flu. So you know, I saw a lot of good things about this on Twitter and other social media platforms. And, you know, I didn't go in with like too much overhype or under, you know what I mean? I kind of went in with a little blank state. And the first part of the movie, it kind of felt like uncut gems for me. I don't know if you guys felt that way, just the anxietal factor. The first 15 minutes are just everyone on top of each other, just going. You feel like you can't breathe for a little while. And I was on a plane when I started this movie, so I had to pause it. So I was like, But then it gets into it, and I felt like part one was a little long for the everywhere and the ending of it. I really thought the movie was over when it went to part two. I was like, but at the same time, it felt so long for only what 40 minutes or so is part one essentially. And I was like, wait, it feels like it could be long enough, but it also feels super short. So that was a little bit of a, I don't know, it was weird for me. And then it just, I don't know. We'll get into it later. For me, the acting I thought was great. It was I didn't have a problem with any of the actors and any of that stuff. So for that, my overall score, I will say at the moment, and you guys can talk me up or down, I will be very susceptible on this podcast. I'm going to go.
This might be fun.
I'm going to go with a 5.8.
Wow.
Is it worth it, though? Not worth it.
Wow.
I would not. I will preface this with I will not rewatch this. And I don't really want to talk about it anymore after this. There's nothing that like made it so that I would want to, you know what I mean? Nothing enticed me back to it. It was just like it was a middle of the road movie. There was nothing so bad about it that I will like, you know what I mean? Like how we go back to Wonder Woman. It was so bad. Mm-hmm. We talk about it because it was so bad. And it's, you know,
right.
Not so great that you're like, oh, I need to revisit this. It's just a C minus movie, I would say. It's serviceable, but nothing jumps out to me.
What about you, Cody?
That was a great review, Dallas.
thank you.
I share a lot of sentiments with Dallas. There's a reason we haven't done this movie. Because if I watched it first. And if I would have like loved it, I would have been like, guys, we need to go watch this and do a podcast on it. Obviously that didn't happen. And here we are. So when Brandon brought up that we were gonna do this, I was kinda like, oh no. Because I didn't want to watch it again. And anyway, so I kinda share the same sentiments as Dallas. He balled it up real nice. That sounded about right. I had a lot of my thoughts. Came out of Dallas, so me and him are pretty close on this one. My score, I was going to give it just 5 out of 10, kind of the same thing, middle of the road. Nothing too bad about it. It's nothing crazy that's, like, awful, but nothing. I agree, the acting's good. There are some cool scenes, some fight scenes that I enjoyed. There are some funny parts, probably not as funny as most people said it was. But, yeah, I mean, kind of like you, Brandon, I heard a lot of good things about it, a lot of, like, hype. Maybe that's the reason. As we covered on this podcast before, I like to go in with very low expectations. And I think I heard too much about this movie before I watched it. And then I watched it. I think it was overhyped. And I think it's overrated as well. So no hate on it or anything. Nothing like you said, Wonder Woman 84 or Wakanda Forever, but but yeah, it's just middle of the road for me. 5 out of 10. I might have to hold off to at the end of the podcast to say either to recommend watching it or not. I don't know if it's worth a watch or not worth a watch. We'll have to see if you guys can convince me each way. You have to convince me if it's not recommended, or Brennan, you have to convince me if it is recommended.
I think that's your answer right there, though, Code. If you can't decide, I feel like that just basically goes straight to it, not a watch.
That's why it's right at a 5. Because I can't decide. Brennan seems really
not necessarily Dallas, because there's like there's some things, there's some movies I watched where after talking to people and they point out different perspectives that it made it easier and better for me. A big example, we never reviewed it, but Nope by Jordan Peele. I had a really tough time with the ending. I was all like, man, up until like the last 15 minutes, this movie was a masterpiece, and then it just crashes and burns like I've never seen before. But then I was listening to another podcast and someone had a different perspective, and it totally fixed the ending for me, to where now it's like one of my favorite movies of the year, and I don't have that issue with the ending anymore. I'll get into this, though, with that being said. Like I said at the beginning, this was like everyone was talking about it. You would have thought this was the second coming of Jesus in like movie form. Like this is the greatest thing to ever exist on Earth.
I must be on different social media platforms because I saw nothing.
Oh, literally up until this moment that I had not seen a single negative thing up until you speaking right now, Dallas.
Oh,
literally. Well, that's what I've seen.
That's what I'm here for.
Bring him down, baby. Bring him down. But then Cody, you and I talked over the summer about this, and you said it's probably a little overrated. And I agree with you. It's overrated, but it's overrated in the way I say Knives Out is overrated. Knives Out is still a great movie. Is it as good as people say to me? No. Is this movie a 10 out of 10? Is this the perfect film? No, it's not. My biggest issue with the movie is, and like there's a lot to be dissected from this, but my biggest issue is it's like 20 minutes too long. They drag out the ending. Oh, could it end here? Oh, it's going to end here. Oh, no, it's not ending here. Surely it ends here. Oh, it's not ending here. Then it must end here.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But Cody, you and I are opposites. You start at a zero and work your way up. I start my way up. I start at a 10 and work my way down.
Right. Yeah.
And I must say, this is my kind of movie because I'm going with a 9.1.
Oh,
this movie to me.
Gosh.
Chill. Hold on.
It's too high.
My goal movie, Dallas, is to sway you. Hold on. I have good points. Because this movie, what was my big issue with Glass Onion? Is it didn't commit to what it was. This movie commits to what it is. This is a ridiculous, out there, outrageous movie that commits the whole time. It is simple, yet complex. It is chaotic, yet calm. It is serious, yet funny. And they do so much ridiculous that, you know, the sense of nihilism in this movie. You know, if there's a million combinations, if there's 10 trillion combinations of you out there, what do you matter? If nothing matters in the world, what is there left to do? Be a good person, right? So you have this huge, complex character, right? That is just the nihilist, doesn't care, and then literally puts everything on a bagel just because nothing matters. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. You could be a rock. You could be hot dog fingers. You could be a pinata.
No, the rock.
Be a drawing.
Oh, no, the hot dog fingers. Ugh.
You could be anything. So if you could be anything and nothing matters, what is the point? The point is to be a good person. And sometimes it takes others around you to see that, right? And that's why I think Ki-Hae Kwan has been winning supporting actors, because he's the heart of this film. He's the one who... Because Michelle Yeoh's character, she's the worst of her, you know, different variants, right? They say that.
Right.
You're the worst. You made all the wrong decisions. You are at rock bottom, but her husband pulls her out, and that's why she's able to be the hero, because she made all the wrong decisions. She's now able to make the right decisions. What they do with this movie in the... There's no rules to it. And there's no rules the entire movie, right? It's not like, oh, just the beginning, there's rules to this. And then later on, they kind of clean it up a little. No. Commit to the ridiculousness of the idea and have the simple presence behind it. That's why I've watched this a couple times in just the last few days. Mostly rewatching different parts, right? When, like, Ki-Hae Kwan fights the security guards with the fan attack. Like, that's amazing.
I disappeared. Sorry.
That's a decent scene. I liked that scene.
Look, the color grading changes and the aspect ratio changes. Suddenly you're in a different movie. You feel like you're in a different universe. The timeline or whatever that he borrows from, suddenly you feel like you're in that one. There's so much ridiculousness to it. And the reason why I love this is because it commits to what it is. And it is anything it wants.
See, I don't feel that way. I still felt that in the same universe each time. The character obviously went to or brought someone from the different universe, but I didn't feel, except for when I'm gonna butcher this just as bad as the other one did, Jobu Tupaki.
Jobu Tupaki, yeah.
Jobu.
Except for when she showed up to the IRS, then it felt like a different, you know what I mean? Like that's when it felt, anytime she showed up, it felt like things shifted and moved and we were in something else. But when the other characters did it, not as much until that big end. big end scene, you know, for me at least.
I mean, sure, because she's the all-powerful, right? She could do whatever.
Yeah.
It's in that fight scene when she turns him into confetti and they're dancing the mariachi, and it's,
again, and then she's a WWE wrestler. No, when she first showed up, I was kind of like, I'll say this, I loved her character the entire time. Personally, I thought she was, I thought she was the best for me until the end again. But
wow, over Kihei Kwan's character, Wayman. I can't say Wayman because it sounds like Raymond with a bad impairment.
Bad speech impediment right there, Wayman.
Yeah, Wayman. Yeah, I have a hard time saying it, but.
So, Brandon, you say you're big on character development. I feel like this doesn't have any character development in this movie. I feel like there's no character, no continuity. There's no meaning.
There's no character development. Look, Evelyn, there's a reason Michelle Yeoh.
Okay, hold on. Let me tell
you. Okay.
I'm going to say, what happened in that 2 hours of the movie could have happened in a 10 to 15 minute conversation. Of just saying, hey, you need to be a good person. That's the whole meaning of the movie, it could have been wrapped up in about 10, 15 minutes. You didn't need to experience all this grandiose randomness to get to that same
character.
I'll do you one point better, Cody. If she would have just sat down and listened to her husband for longer than 2 seconds, because that's what she finally did, right? She finally listened to Wayman in that moment.
Yeah.
And then things changed.
Okay, Brian, go ahead. That was my point.
Look, Natalie, my wife, she complains about this all the time. Sometimes I have to hear something from someone else or go through something to finally get the point that she's made. It frustrates the crap out of her. I'll always be like, man, I was talking to my dad about this and he suggested this. And she said, man, I've told you that like 3 times. How come you weren't listening to me? There's experience in the journey. There's eye-openingness in the journey, right?
That says a lot about you, but maybe you self-reflect. Maybe that's why you like this movie so much.
maybe that is, right?
Hold
on, I got to get back to the character.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
This is the Evelyn that's at the lowest, right? She's made all the wrong choices. So for her, her journey is now making all the right choices. And that's tough for her, as we see in the beginning when she's supposed to do whatever weird act to get her into the other body. That's kind of representing of she's still not able to make the right decisions, even though the instructions are clear, right? People get, you know, the alpha version gives her clear instructions and she still has issues, right? That's her character. She's made so many wrong decisions, it's now suddenly hard for her to make the correct decision. As she goes through this journey and she sees herself in different ways, what would her life have been like had she made better decisions? She would have been a great actor, a great chef, a better mom, right? She's finally able to see that. And that's why she, think about this, what other movie in the more modern era, Michelle Yeoh is in like 95% of these scenes. You really think about it, it's super rare for the main character to be in that much of the movie. And I think that's because her character is so important, and she's such a good freaking actor for this, right?
Yeah,
her
and I'm not arguing that.
Have great chemistry.
I won't argue any of the acting by anyone in this movie. That is why it bumped up to a 5.8, because the acting I thought was very
and
good.
To your point, Brun, originality. I mean, it's a very original idea, and
yes,
that's why I gave it the way. That part I enjoyed.
Let me say this. It's original, but it really isn't. How many multiverse things have we had in the last 2 years, thanks to Marvel?
Right. Well,
yeah.
This is Doctor Strange.
But this concept of the multiverse,
on heroin. It's on heroin. It's not steroids.
It's on LSD, bro. It's. it is a trip.
It's on whatever Joe Rogan keeps under his table at
the studio.
Sorry, go ahead.
I mean,
So look, right, and this is why I say the biggest credit I could give it and why it's such a score is it commits to this. Have you guys ever heard of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster? Have you guys heard that? It's like a real church in California or something.
No.
It's an ironic thing. It's a science-based. It says if the universe is truly infinite, that means anything you think of actually exists. If it's infinite, there's no limit to anything. Yeah. And that's what this movie is. If everything is infinite, then the apes with the hot dog fingers really dominated the apes with the normal fingers, and that's where evolution or whatever you want to say. Who's to say no? Who's going to say no on what's out there?
That's fine, but that doesn't need to be shown on film. It's, the hot dog being...
See, this is one of my biggest nitpicks. Is there was a few too many cringe moments where they were trying to be serious and it felt a little cringy, or like it just didn't hit for me, or some of the comedy. There were good parts to comedy and seriousness in this movie, but I felt more that didn't hit the mark for me on both aspects of that.
Because in those infinity, whatever you want to say, you know, possibilities, why did they choose what they chose to put into this film? If there's so many, does that make sense? Why have the hot dog fingers? I understand maybe you're trying to be funny or whatever, but it took me out of the movie.
The first little hot dog thing, funny, but then you keep coming back to it over and over, and they try to like oversell some of the.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. You do one or maybe two in that final little monologue thing, of your little funny alternate universe. But they just they kept calling back to it, and then the weird mustard and ketchup coming out of the mouth. I kind of gagged when I watched that. That was disgusting.
Yeah.
I'll probably give you that one.
Yeah. that was gross.
Not gonna change my score, but I'll give you that one.
Okay. Here, let me give you a few more little nitpicks.
This is what I wanted to ask you. Give me the lowest joke, but give me like the highest joke. Like let's see how big of a space there really is. Like,
okay, so you say what's her name? Sorry, the main actress on
Evelyn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So Evelyn's in 95% of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like more than half of her jokes didn't hit, whereas almost every single one of like Wayman's jokes hit for me personally. It almost everything that she tried to make funny or was supposed to be a funny moment because of her didn't really hit the mark for me. And I would say 70-80% of Wayman's jokes did do the job for me. And so that's what I'm saying. That's so the main character just it didn't really fully hit for me on that side.
Besides maybe like the initial fish out of water type stuff with her, I actually don't picture too much comedy with her. Perhaps the funniest moment is when she walks in on the hibachi chef with a raccoon under his hat.
Oh, I hate. Oh, that was for that.
I just died. No, I that died. Was... That was like just like, because here's the thing, anything goes.
This is what I.
Yes, that's fine. Anything goes, but why put it on film, especially if it's not funny?
Well, no, one scene with it, fine.
If anything goes, if nothing really matters, then what is there left to do? The writers were in the room throwing up Post-its.
Keep throwing in more randoms. I would rather have more random stuff than keep calling back to her on his head doing the raccoonie thing. That was dumb.
No, that's part of my issue, right? That's towards the end where it's all like, when is this going to end? Because there's the scene when she's in the other universe with the party at the laundromat, and she finally expresses her daughter's sexuality to her father, right? And I thought, okay, surely it ends here. But then her daughter goes and runs off and upsets, feels like it's not enough, right? And then there's all the fight scenes with the different variants up to the bagel, which I would love to talk about the bagel more, because that was the point where I'm like, okay, I'm all in. Like, that's fine. But there's too many points. That's my big thing, right? I agree with you. Figure out the ending. You don't need to have these same callbacks if you could have more. Maybe it was a budget thing. Maybe they couldn't do more. I don't know.
Well, I feel like they could have, because they kept jumping on them and filming more of that type of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll give you another nitpick. Why when they died, right? Literally, we saw Gong Gong explode. Literally, a grenade blew him up. Why is he all of a sudden back alive, like, 10 minutes later? And then why is he on Jumbo Chewbacca's side? Do you remember that? All of a sudden, he has his guys trying to stop Evelyn. And Jobu's... that. At the end, yes, Jobu's and Gong Gong's are all attacking Evelyn. It's both of them together. Attacking Evelyn.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. I don't think I paid attention to it enough. I think I might have taken it as he's just a different variant.
No, it was... Now, because... It was supposed to be him. The thing.
With Jobu,
once your variant dies in that universe, the Alpha is not able to come back to that universe. That's what Alpha Wayman said at the start.
Yeah, but he also said Jobu is like this god that is able to break. Like she's the exception to this thing. That's why she's able to turn the gun into confetti.
But before she right had showed up, they came back. Because that's when Wayman was giving his whole speech to Evelyn. All of Gong Gong's little
guys enough to that part to really argue.
They all blew up. All of like half of his guys blew up, and then all of a sudden they're all back before Jobu's come back. That was a huge flaw for me. What's up?
No, I know why. Because this is gobbledygook.
Here we go.
This is gobbledygook. Straight terrible writing. That's what that was.
that was honestly like the biggest thing. Because honestly, I still didn't love it, but it probably would have been a 6.5 to 7 for me. And then the end, there were so many inconsistencies with everything. You say that the movie stuck to its guns and stuck to everything, but it didn't at the end. All of a sudden, they're breaking all these rules that at the start of the movie, Alpha Wayman has talked about, and these are the rules, and this is what happens.
That's right.
So that
who's to say that the rules? I mean. Rules, no rules. Is there really rules or rules? It's tough. Maybe it is bad writing that he said at the beginning.
He said it at the beginning.
But you're also talking about a movie where they explicitly say anything is possible, anything can happen. Who knows? Every decision you make splits up a million different things. And when you have this infinite singularity, this everything bagel that's sucking everything in and mixing everybody at will, and things are just chaotic, who's to say, you know? Everything goes. Well, and that's what I get to this whole point.
Okay, right? So then let me get you with another one.
Give me 10 more seconds. Why okay, is that come at the on. Beginning? This movie is so complex yet so simple. There's a million freaking things you could get on. But in the end of the day, if nothing matters, what is there left to do to be a good person? And to me, that's the messaging I took. So you could be along for the ride, but that's the overall theme. You could just, everything else is just eye candy. Screw it. Whatever. Get the simple message across in all the complexity.
That was fine, but don't break your own rules. Don't break your own rules that you established in the first 20, like, after the first uncut gem, anxiety-ridden scene. And we see, I don't know if you guys noticed this, see on the back camera Wayman jumping in the laundromat over thing. I actually rewound that part. I was like, did I see that right? You know, and so that.
And he's like, dude, parkour back there.
And then they're in the IRS and everything, you know, goes a little weird and crazy. And that's when he starts explaining to her all the rules. And that's another inconsistency. He was telling her if it's not ready, then it won't give her the right thing. Right, but then when she's trying to do a bunch, it keeps going yellow, and yet she's still getting the Kung Fu Master or the right one that she wants for that moment. And it's like, wait, no, you said if it wasn't green, essentially, as we see on the headsets, then something's going to go wrong. But then every time it went yellow, things were still going right, even though earlier he said don't.
I didn't see it like that. I didn't see the yellow as going right. Necessarily. I saw that whole time in the IRS building as the big learning curve, right? Finally figuring it out. And she has to drag other people into trying to figure it out too, or else she just seems like a crazy person. That's why when the Alpha Wayman comes out and we're left with the normal one, it's just like, what is happening? Right. So I think there's a big learning curve to that. And I think that's where, again, this movie kind of shines when they get all the people and they're just doing ridiculous things to activate whatever powers they want.
Oh, that's what this movie is. Another terrible thing. The butt plug scene. That was just awful. That was the cringiest moment after the hot dog.
I blocked that out of my memory. Thanks.
That was just. You know what that scene felt like? He jumps in just.
I'll tell you what that felt like. I'll tell you what universe that came from. That came from the universe where the boys from Jackass 4 are directing and writing this movie. That's Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville directing this. And that's.
Or the boys.
The director of this movie came in and they got one part to write, and that's the part they wrote, man. That's what they did. And I'm not going to argue with you on that one, because even I'm like, they foreshadow it when they're at the IRS with Jamie Lee Curtis and show it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's going
to. That little part was funny. I was like, when she points to those trophies and she's like, you know what you have to do to earn this? And I was like, okay, that's funny right there. That it looks you know what I mean? Like, that's funny. And you could have left it at that. You could have left it at that.
Yeah. The subtle, funny parts were the best parts in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are subtle. The ones that are in your face and over the top, I didn't find funny. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying watching you two go back and forth. This is kind of fun for me.
Well, let's talk about this.
I've talked myself down. I'm being honest.
The points you're making, I can't see you taking off so many points for it. Because, like, there's no movie with, like, there's probably some, but none have near perfect consistency. But I look past it in the sense that people are human. They make mistakes. You could even say that's the theme of this movie, right? Because Evelyn, she made all the mistakes to be human, right? I'd like to talk about this everything bagel thing, because when I heard that, I thought that was just hilarious. Like a literal.
Never eaten one again. Never eaten one again.
I don't think I've ever really had one anyways. But if you have all the knowledge and all the power, and you're just this nihilist, and what is there left to do when you're bored? Sure, put everything on a bagel. And you get this cult, and they all put the bagel symbol on their foreheads. It's the committing to the ridiculousness of it. This everything bagel cult is coming to take over whatever universe you're in. I mean, you got to at least, even if you don't you got to at least respect it for going for it.
No, I get that. My nitpick with that is Jobu being so, like, she can go to any universe, right? She can do anything in any freaking universe. So why is she always set on how sad her, what's her name? I don't know. Joy.
Her daughter.
Joy. How sad Joy is in every universe. Go to the universe, make her life a little better in each one, and then you would just be happier. You can do whatever the heck you want at all times. I don't know. Change your perspective a little. Dark teenage angst. It's not that serious. Get through the rest of puberty.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that too. It kind of felt like it was all about the spoiled little daughter at some points in the movie. Like, it was just all about, I don't know.
It was what every 17-year-old could say. My mom sucks. I hate my life. This sucks. Yeah. I'm going to kill myself. Okay. Give it 2 more years. I'm sure you'll feel a lot better. I promise. It gets better. Graduate high school, nerd.
But the Jobu one comes from the universe where she was, you know, the lab rat. She was the experiment. She was the one who got pushed so far that now she has this. Who she is a more comedic version of Bran from Game of Thrones. You know, three-eyed Raven. I see everything at once, and time and space and everything is all to me. And he's kind of like this flatline character, and you don't know why he becomes king, because there's like 1,000 other people at the end of season 8 that could have been a better king. But she's like the more comedic version of him. What is there left to do if you see everything? And I think her journey was like, she's not as purposeless as she's leading people on to be, because she still is seeking some sort of revenge. Her last feeling, her last moment of feeling some sort of normal emotion is getting that revenge on the lowest form of Evelyn. You've screwed over all these other versions of me. I'm gonna at least take you down with me.
But if there's as we talked about, is there's a million possibilities, so there's got to be at least one where Joy is just amazingly happy and everything is great, right? If there's infinite possibilities, so go stay in that one. Go chill in that one.
Yeah, but what are you supposed to do is, if she still sees all the other ones? She still sees all the horrible, lifeless joys, which is kind of...
Evelyn seemed to be able to... Joy. When we watch, Evelyn seemed to be able to block out and stay in ones that she wanted to for longer.
Yeah,
but Evelyn came to these powers through her own will and wanting. Joy wasn't. Joy was forced, right? I hate the Golden State Warriors because when I was 11, there was this awful game against the Clippers that just pissed me off so bad that I've never been able to recover from that. When you're young, you're easily moldable, which is why all these politicians use kids to push their agenda or whatever, right? When you're young, you're moldable. You're going to be it's going to stick you to your ways for the rest of it. She's young and dumb, and she's cursed with this insane ability.
Yeah.
These are all positives to me, man.
That's
to me, right?
These are all negatives to me.
I'm in the middle.
I really thought I'd be able to talk about, man.
I don't think you're going to be able to talk me up, man. The more I'm talking, the more I'm just crapping on this movie. You never told us our average score before we started this also.
It's 6.7.
6.7? Oh, yeah, we got to get that down. It's too high.
You go down, I'll go up, man.
Oh.
Principle. I'll do what I do on IMDb. If I think the score is too low, I'll give it a 10. If I think it's too high, I'll give it a 1.
Integrity. You need integrity. You got
to throw the averages. That's what I do. Just throw the averages.
I'm switching it to 0. Really throw this average. You can only go 0.9. I can go down 5.8.
You go 0 and I go 10. That means Cody gets the final say to what this score is.
So 5. There we go. Right there. Right in the middle.
Look, man. If this movie ends up a 5 because all three of us are on different levels, the movie won.
That's fine. Everything Anywhere All at Once or whatever the heck the title is.
Because we see it in three different ways. Our decisions in life have led us to thinking in these.
But the majority, the majority agrees with you, Brendan.
It's true.
Okay, so I'm super mainstream and, you know, I'm not the hipster of the group like you guys are.
No. We're not dissing.
We're not. Yeah, they got me.
That's not dissing because there are plenty of movies that I think are good and I agree with a lot of people and you two would probably be like, yeah, that wasn't as good as everyone's saying. Like Knives Out, like we talked about. No, we talked about it last week with Knives Out.
Sure, yeah.
You don't like that nearly as much as me and the general public do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not knocking it, it's just our opinions. That's what I love about this crap.
No, and that's like what it's here for.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But look, there is a lot of originality in this, and in a place where, at least in, how do I say this, in American media, in American type produced shows, originality is really lacking. There's a lot of originality outside of this country.
A lot of
people refuse to watch originality outside of this country because it's called anime. Nobody wants to. this is kind of refreshing to me, at least. Look, I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but it's still like, I'm worried because how long can Marvel hold my attention? How long can reboots of 80s movies hold my attention? Ghostbusters Afterlife, dare I say Top Gun Maverick, even though it's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. How long until that really it dries us out.
Not very much longer. I'm getting tired. For me.
Yeah. No, I am too. Right? Like,
yeah.
I was looking at I was on IMDb today actually seeing what, like, upcoming movies there are, and there really weren't that many. Like, there's some I'm excited for. Creed 3. Love the Creed movies. Love Michael B. Jordan. Jonathan Majors is killing it. But
sure.
What is Creed 3? It's a continuation of the Rocky movies, man.
Right. Mm-hmm. All the way from the 70s.
Yep.
All the way from the 70s.
Yep. Right.
So if anything, there's got to be a respect for the originality in this when it's really, at this time, not an original concept.
That's why it's so high for me. We'll never see a movie like this again. In my opinion.
We probably won't.
You don't think they'll try and... You don't think mainstream Hollywood will try and do their own... exact knockoff or version of it, but something...
Because
they see all the success from it.
Yeah, it was too successful. You know what I mean? It was too successful. I don't think they would try to. I think that'd be murder, or not murder. That'd be career suicide. Someone trying to try to do that. So
yeah,
but,
no, it's yeah. I know it's.
I don't see anything like this again.
You have to kind of go down a rabbit hole on like Amazon, or you know, if you clicking into basically only Amazon or like Showtime is what I've been doing recently, and just kind of finding like little hidden gems. Type movies that like came out in the last couple of years that I haven't heard of, and I read the description, I'm like, this has a 7 on IMDb. I'll give it a shot. You know, I haven't heard anything about it. That's what I've been doing recently, at least.
Start doing that with the 90s movies you've never seen. There's some good movies.
I need to do that, honestly.
In the 90s. Old head talking over here.
Yeah, there we go. Mr. 90s bringing everything up. Cody, you've been quiet most of this.
I know, it's been fun.
If you've said anything, usually it's either agreeing or disagreeing with someone. Have you been swayed at all? Are we all going to stay stubborn and stick to our scores? Are we going to give the middle
I'll
finger to someone else to change our scores?
I'll give you the reason why it got to a 5, because it could have been lower. But like we talked about, when I've seen a movie like this, it was creative, it was imaginative, pretty complex. It was visually stunning. There's a lot of good cinematography in it.
Great editing. When Jobu,
great acting.
Let me bring this up.
Yep, great directing.
Like when Jobu is first coming into the universe and you see like her going to like 10 different ones. That's really great little moments.
All the other stuff that we've talked about, this took me out of it. And I just feel like there was a lack of depth in the meaning of the movie. So... Yeah, I'm still at a 5, like I said. But after the whole conversation between you and Dallas, I'm gonna say it's worth a watch at least. I'm gonna go 5 out of 10 still, worth a watch, because it's so polarizing. Obviously, I mean, we're all over the map and on this, and I think you know, watch it for yourself and you make up your own mind. So I'm gonna say worth it and 5 out of 10 still.
That's fine. I think you might bring up a good point. It might be worth watching just purely for the fact of there's so much to talk about when you're in a group setting.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had all seen this when it was out in theaters and we were out summer chilling at the pool having this conversation, right? That in and of itself might have been worth it to discuss, you know, the ridiculousness of it, you know, whatever it is. So
yeah.
I like this movie. I've watched it a couple times this week already. Good for Ki-Hae Kwan for coming back. Dude was blacklisted pretty hard.
Yes. Yeah, and awesome.
What insane acting. How do you, after 25 years, be the emotional heart of a movie like this? Incredible. Hope to see him. He's already been cast in the second season of Loki. Him and Michelle Yeoh, oddly enough. Yeah, man. Dude, Kevin Feige said he went to go see this in theaters, and as soon as he got out of the movie, he called up Ki-Hae Kwan and said, I got a role for you. Come to Marvel. We got stuff for you. And then Michelle Yeoh, these two, Evelyn and Wayman, got their own original show on Disney Plus coming out here soon.
That's cool.
They're back at it.
Good for them.
Good.
So good for him, man.
Again, I will not knock any of the acting. I thought all of the acting was very phenomenal by the main characters in this movie. Because I probably would be closer to Cody with the five, but the acting, I couldn't knock a single, nothing about the acting brought me down.
Well, that's Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is hilarious because this movie came out a year ago and we're doing a podcast on it when we still haven't done a podcast on Avatar. Still don't know if I can bring myself to watch it.
Still haven't.
Avatar is interesting because I'm seeing people, again, maybe it's just my side of Twitter. I'm seeing people say, oh man, this new Avatar fixes the other one. Oh man, this is it. I understand what James Cameron is going for now. It's opened my third eye, my third googly eye, if you will.
Those are bots. They're all bots. James Cameron paid bots.
Yeah, paid for.
The thing, it's breaking all these financial records or whatever. I still don't know anyone who's seen it personally, like in my own friend group. And I have a small friend group, so that doesn't mean anything. But I still don't know anyone who's seen it.
Yeah, me either. Well, that's not true. I know one person has seen it. They said it was okay.
I don't know anyone who's seen it, so I haven't heard a single good or bad thing because I don't really see any comments on Twitter about it. So,
yeah, well, I feel like the inevitable is coming because I feel like we're gonna have to talk it. Anyways, when you have a podcast, there's only three things guaranteed in life: death, taxes, and talking about James Cameron movies. So, I mean, I'm sure we're gonna have to.
Anybody's worth change? Dallas, Brennan?
No, I'm a just be real. Stick to the 9-1.
No,
okay. 5-8 and a 5.
So it's a 6.7 worth the watch. Is that what it is?
We'll go 6.7 worth it. Nice. Look, can people really complain over that? I don't think so. We probably will. I swear, whenever I post our scores for something, there's always some lunatic I have to block for hopping in our DMs, threatening to dox us and figure out where we live or something.
Oh, gosh.
I know. You know, man.
Come at me next time at DeWallaby. You can find me. You can text me. You can DM me, and I will come right back at you if you hate my opinion on this movie.
Yeah, and hey, my name is Dallas Bush, so you can find me too. Come at me. Again, my name is Dallas Bush. Yeah, Dr. Fox. Anyway, if that's it, it's been a good podcast. Shout out to our sponsor, Billet Bob Ammo. If you need ammo, go to billetbobammo.com. It's free shipping on everything. I'm currently wearing their Second Amendment t-shirt. It says Second That. It's an AR-15 on there. Quality shirt. And I'm not biased towards the shirt because I did the design or anything, but check out billetbobammo.com. Free shipping on all orders. Thanks for listening.